Blog Talk Radio.
Absolute power corrupts absolutely.
This is a journey into sound.
Welcome all, once again.
This
happens
is a
to
journey
be JT.
Into sound.
And this is the master plan.
Along the way, we'll bring to you new color, new dimension, new value.
Number to call in, 347-637-3220.
I throw this switch.
Pump up the volume, pump up the volume.
Pump that bass.
I hope you're ready for some conversation. We're going to talk about the RG3 versus Andrew Luck.
You make me feel so good.
The NCAA tournament.
This broadcast bring you a special news bulletin from our on-the-spot task force.
Oh my God.
Tim Tebow in New York. And me being a Jets fan for 45, almost 45 years. I'm seriously considering changing allegiance to another team. And sometime during this show, you'll hear my decision on what I'm going to do.
Start my mission, leave my residence, thinking how could I get some dead presidents. I need money. I used to be a stick up kid, so I think of all the devious things I did.
So let's listen to Rakim a little bit, and I'll be back. Money.
But now I learn to earn because I'm righteous. I feel great, so maybe I might just search for a 9-to-5. If I strive, then maybe I stay alive. So I walk up the street, whistling this, feeling out of place, cause man, do I miss a pen and a paper, a stereo, a tape for me and Eric being a nice big plate of this, which is my favorite dish, but without no money, it's still a wish. Cause I don't like to dream about getting paid, so I dig into the books of the rhymes that I made. Soon as a test to see if I got pulled, hit the studio, cause I'm paid in full.
Volume, pump up the volume.
Wait a minute, you better talk to my mother.
Was it good enough for you? Was it good enough for you? Yes, people, this is the Master Plan. I am JT once again on a fine Sunday morning, the next to last Sunday in the month of March. Next week on Sunday, I will not be here. I'm going to either have someone take my spot or going to have an archive show. There's personal business I have to take care of for several days. It's going to carry into Sunday. So I will not be here. The number to call in, once again, is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220. Chat room is always open. Open season in the chat room. Come talk. Come chat with me. We can converse like that. If you'd rather not talk to me on a landline, that's fine. I can deal with that. That's not a problem. Like I said before, we're going to be talking about, number one, we're going to be talking about, again, I keep on bringing this about for the one reason I brought it about before, because the fact is, what I truly believe is a fact, that the one quarterback who happens to be a black quarterback versus the white quarterback is better than the white quarterback. I've been preaching it. I've been preaching it for 6, 7, 8 months at least. And finally, it's coming to light. Other people are jumping on the bandwagon, I shouldn't say. We're talking about Merle Hodge from ESPN. I'm going to be playing a clip that he is saying he's looked over hours and hours of tape and says one quarterback is clearly the better of the two quarterbacks that are in question we're talking about here. And also, an NFL film analyst who studies film relentlessly and is well respected in the field of in this NFL's field of being one of the most astute persons of being able to analyze talent off of film. I'm talking about none other than Greg Cosell of NFL Films. Now, I know he's talked about other quarterbacks that haven't panned out, but the point I'm making is this. Clearly, one team in the NFL already said they're going to be picking Andrew Luck. Clearly, they said they're going to pick one over the other. Why? Well, let me put it this way. I'm trying to think, and follow me here. I'm trying to think over a period of time if the team that's going to be drafting first has ever drafted a black quarterback. I can't recall that team ever having, and now that's not the only team, ever having either drafted a black quarterback or had a black quarterback on this team. Now, I could be wrong. Now, I'm just saying, if it's one player that's clearly better in all films, and now other so-called expert analysts are jumping on board and saying that one quarterback is better than the other, but the team that's picking first in the NFL draft is hell-bent on picking, and that's their privilege, that's their right, hell-bent on picking one guy who's been touted for years, and who I've been saying for years, not just this year, I've been saying it last year. I said it this year, people who are listening to me, and I'm sorry for raising my voice, but I said it this year, before the college football season started, but the hype was on Andrew Luck. The reason why he stayed in is he wanted to play another year and to win the Heisman Trophy. I said it before the season started, Andrew Luck will not win the Heisman. Will not. Overrated. I truly believe that he's overrated, and I think it's going to come to light. Now, I'm not saying he's going to be a complete bust, but he ain't going to be all that. And I'll be the first to eat my words if it happens, but I truly believe from what I've been watching on film, what I've been watching in game film on Andrew Luck when he's playing against a quality team with a quality quarterback on the other side, gets outplayed, and it's still the media has jumped on this Andrew Luck hype for so long, and was blinded to everything, even after RG3, Robert Griffin III, for those who don't know who RG3 is, clearly. After he won the Heisman Trophy, and it wasn't that close when he won it, and clearly performed well in the NFL Combine, and now I have two sources, not just one, two sources. One used to be an NFL player; the other studies NFL film religiously. He is, I would say, he's one of the gurus of studying NFL film. I'm talking about Greg Cosell. And I say this because I'm going to read an article from ProFootballTalk.com. Now, you've heard me in the past make references to ProFootballTalk.com. Well, that's because you can get some good information. Not all information on that is good, but you can get some good information, and I'm not handpicking information to sway on my side, but you can get good information, and I think this is good information, and this supports my position. And after this, I'm going to play. It's about a 5-minute clip, and it gets broken down. Merle Hodge, and excuse me for not remembering the other commentator or analyst or whoever you want to call him on ESPN. But the point is that once I read this thing from ProFootballTalk.com, that Greg Cosell analyzing the two quarterbacks, one versus the other, I'm going to go to the clip that Merle Hodge from ESPN put. It's about a 5-minute clip, but first let's listen to this one or hear me when I say this. It is the title of it. Cosell deems RG3 a superior arm talent and a natural passer to Luck. Now, like I said, I referred to Merle Hodge earlier, and it starts off as ESPN's Merle Hodge caused a stir last week when he advised the Colts to draft Baylor's Robert Griffin III over Stanford's Andrew Luck with the first pick in the draft. Now, that's funny. Why would you call a cause a stir? Obviously, the so-called media types are so blinded to Andrew Luck that they don't think Robert Griffin III. And I'm telling you right now, I think it's because he's a black quarterback and he's got a good set of wheels. That because of that, they don't think that he's a viable. He's not on par or above Andrew Luck, because Andrew Luck even though Andrew Luck is a mobile quarterback, they consider him more of a pocket quarterback, and that's, I quote, pocket quarterback, than Robert Griffin III, where they're completely wrong about that, because if you look at the film, it's obvious Robert Griffin III uses his wheels as a last resort. He sits in the pocket and takes hits and able to throw the ball quite well. Let me finish this article. I'm going to play the clip, and then we'll come back, and I'll talk about it some more. NFL Films, Greg Cosell, perhaps the most prolific game tape watcher of the sport today, indicated in a recent comparative essay that he doesn't disagree with Hogue. Cosell says he watched 5 tapes of each player, as Hogue also acknowledged. Cosell entered the film sessions with the impression that Luck, like most media, and I'm saying it, most white media, was the most NFL-ready quarterback to come out since Peyton Manning. That blinders, that stereotype of a black quarterback not being on par with a white quarterback. Couldn't possibly. He's too mobile. He's not. He doesn't have the skills or the mind to be above Andrew Luck, who everyone has anointed for years. Anyway, let me get back to the article. By the end of his film work, however, Cosell concluded that Griffin is a superior arm talent and natural passer to Luck. Luck was not a special passer based on the film study. Now, you hear that. Listen to what he just said. Luck was not a special passer based on film study, wrote Cosell. He has not the same kind of arm talent as Matthew Stafford or Cam Newton. Luck was an economical player who was at his best as a timing and rhythm short to intermediate passer. So that's telling me that he's not too accurate throwing the ball deep down the field. He's comfortable short passes, dump passes to the tight end, slot passes to quick slot passes to the slot receiver, things like that, short passes that and intermediate passes that are basically safe passes, in my opinion. Anyway, Cosell did credit Luck for his masterful ability to call plays and make adjustments at the line of scrimmage, calling it an essential attribute as Luck transitions to the NFL. Based strictly on game tape, however, RG3 was a more remarkable quarterback. Now, this is a quote from Cosell. "What immediately jumped out was his arm strength," Cosell wrote. "Griffin, for a power thrower, was consistently accurate." Consistently accurate. Now, the problem with a lot of assumptions to media types and so-called experts that a mobile, very mobile quarterback and, quote, a black quarterback, who's most, for the most part, is a mobile quarterback, is not a accurate passer. Far from the truth with RG3. The better term for accuracy is ball location. That's what allows receivers to run after the catch. Griffin excelled in that area. Hello. So what I'm saying is, Andrew Luck may be an accurate passer, but he's a safe passer. He doesn't take too many chances. Economical tells me he's a safe passer. He doesn't take too many chances. He doesn't want to make – and I understand that. A lot of quarterbacks don't want to make mistakes, but you listen to what Cosell is saying. Cosell went on to praise Griffin's composure in the pocket as better than Luck's. Listen to that now, people. Now, you're talking about a supposedly talent. Luck is overall without doubt the number one quarterback to be drafted, the number one pick to be drafted. Indianapolis is going to take Luck regardless. Luck, composure in a pocket is not as well as Griffin's, as well as RG's ability to throw from a different arm angle while maintaining consistent accuracy. This guy is flexibility, and I'm not talking about his body type, but his flexibility and being able to adapt whatever situation that happens or arises in the pocket is superior to Andrew Luck. Cosell just suggested that Griffin, despite playing in Baylor's spread scheme, was less of a system quarterback than Luck. Now, everybody also assumed, because Robert Griffin III played in a spread offense, that he can't adapt under center. You're wrong. You're wrong. It's obvious. If you watch a lot of film, you're wrong. If you watch him play, you're wrong. But who am I to say? I'm just a small-time guy talking on the radio, spewing whatever. But Cosell, who watches film religiously, and I told you earlier, he's the most prolific film viewer in the NFL, and people value his opinion religiously. So it's not me now. I got two people now, two people that analyze film and know what they're talking about. One who played in a game, and one who analyzes the game. That's his livelihood. Analyzes the game. Cosell suggested that Griffin, despite playing in Baylor's spread scheme, was less of a system quarterback than Luck was. I mean, Luck, who was managed and manipulated by his offense. Did you listen? Did you hear that? Did you hear that? Who was managed and manipulated by his offense? So the offensive scheme that they had made sure that his weaknesses or his shortcomings was not displayed on film, because they more or less protected him. Now, I know they protect all quarterbacks, but this is the darling of the football world. This is the darling of the media hypes or types that who have anointed this quarterback for the last few years as the next coming of Peyton Manning or whatever. And this I feel is a mistake. So maybe the Colts do have a decision to make at number one overall. Or maybe the Redskins are getting the best quarterback in the draft. I'm thinking the Redskins are getting the best quarterback in the draft. And Indianapolis, being that, like I had mentioned earlier, I don't think they've ever had, and I could be wrong, I could definitely be wrong, but I don't think they've ever had, I know they haven't drafted one, a black quarterback on that team. Is there something to that? Well, I'm bringing it to light. I'm asking the question, why? I mean, you don't think in that organization, in that area, that the Indianapolis has a I wouldn't say a something against bringing a black quarterback that could possibly make their team better in a quick way versus bringing in a guy that has was managed and manipulated by his offense, doesn't lack the composure in the pocket as the supposedly second round quarterback is, doesn't throw a good deep ball, is content for the most part to short to intermediate passes. Now, if it was me, and you just got rid of Peyton Manning, and you're going to go with Andrew Luck, and you're starting to see the warts on Andrew Luck come out to light, and you see how smooth the skin, how better equipped for the NFL, supposedly. And I'm just saying supposedly because either one of these guys can bust out and either one of these guys can be a Hall of Fame type of quarterback. But I think, in my opinion, I've been saying it for a while, that RG3 is definitely the better quarterback of the two. But what can I say? I think I think the Colts are making a mistake, and I do believe that they should really think hard and long about drafting RG3 instead of Andrew Luck. But that's going to benefit the person who picked second, who happens to be the Washington Redskins, which would be an ideal fit for the Washington Redskins, Mike Shanahan. Now, like I said, I've said in various shows, I'm not too keen on Kyle Shanahan as an offensive coordinator, but that's neither here nor there. You know, like I said, I'm going to play this clip from Merle Hodge from ESPN, and I went on a little diatribe, so I apologize for that. So let's listen to what Merle Hodge has to say. Luck versus RG3.
Is Andrew Luck the best quarterback coming out?
I would say no. I would say Robin Griffin III is the best quarterback for every reason you just mentioned.
Will he be the best at the next level?
I would say it all boils down to who wants you, and you're the best for that team. But the general question is, is he the best quarterback in this draft? And my answer is Andrew Luck is. My answer is no. And the only reason why I say this is because he had the Trump trophy. Not the Trump card, but the Trump trophy. And that's the Heisman trophy. Yeah, you could have all the Johnny Walkers. You could have all the Davey O'Brien, the Maxwells. You can do all the different trophies that indicate why you may be the best at that position. But when you talk about the best player in the country, bar none, hands down. You're talking in the first three games, he had 13 touchdowns to 12 incompletions.
Okay, but next level.
Next level, I think he will turn out to be something special because you don't know if Andrew Luck is going to turn out to be something special.
You bet on RG3
as a better prospect.
I would say he's a better prospect because when you look at the intangibles that he has, the way this league is evolving with the quarterbacks that are the elite quarterbacks, guys can move in the pocket, and they have very strong arms. And what you have in Rob RG3 is he's an outstanding quarterback, let alone an outstanding athlete. And I think there's no one in this draft that has the intangibles like he does. Yes, he had the injury last year. He came back in this past season, and he's done some outstanding things for us throwing the football. Everyone talked about the receivers that he had around him. It was the balls that he was throwing. He was extremely accurate. He was very precise in where he wanted to go with the football. And in some cases, it was better than most on the collegiate level when I had the opportunity to see.
I apologize for that. That's not the clip I wanted to play. The clip I wanted to play is not loaded, but I'm loading it. But I still can go on until it gets loaded, and then we'll go from there. Now, like I was saying, I still believe that Andrew Luck is I wouldn't say he's going to be a bust, but I don't think he's going to be all what people think he's going to be. I think he's got a long, long way to go. I think RG3 is going to be a more dynamic and it's going to be a better pro for a longer period of time. So if it was me and I was the Indianapolis Colts, and like I said before, I would take a long, hard look on who I would want to be my leader, I would think that they would think about that, you know, because picking the wrong quarterback in the draft can set you back for years. It's done it to quite a few people, and I've got this clip loaded up. I'm going to play it, and then I'm going to come back and talk to you. The number to call in is 347-637-3220, 347-637-3220. We're talking right now about Andrew Luck versus Robert Griffin III. This is a clip from Merle Haug, Hoad from ESPN, on who is the better quarterback and what his opinion is and who should pick who in the draft. Thought I had it, don't have it. Thought I had it, don't have it.
We're presuming the Colts will take Andrew Luck number one overall. And then we see the Redskins make that move to number two, trading with the Rams to lock themselves up with Robert Griffin III. But when you saw tape here, let's play a little take your pick, and let's take a look at some of the key characteristics when judging a quarterback. And let's start with accuracy. Andrew Luck or RG3?
Well, let me back up just a little bit, Kevin. You know, one thing that I've been listening to all the hype, you know, and I, after watching the tape and 120 hours devoted to both of these kids, after I get done studying, I take RG3 in about 90% of the categories. Now, when you talk about accuracy, just push the ball outside the numbers, I thought he was much better than Luck. When you talk about touch and in the middle of the field, better than Luck.
So, okay,
arm
we're going to
X mark there, right,
there's
with
accuracy.
Accuracy in all phases.
Let's now go to the
better
arm strength here
arm
when comparing.
And that's about, you know, a delivery as well. That ball comes out and there's zip on it. There's more range with RG3 than there is with Luck. And his ability not to throw the ball just outside the numbers, but in the middle of the field, especially in the NFL with all of those zone coverage and athlete, his touch blew me away. How he had such great touch and his ability to be accurate on the move better than Luck, which is very important.
We're checking
in
the arm strength to RG3. Now, let's go to the category. You mentioned
touch. I've already mentioned it a little bit.
Is it better than Andrew Luck?
Yes, and especially on when he's moving or from the pocket. It doesn't matter what platform you're talking about. I was blown away by the kid. Quite honestly, you know, I'd see a few highlights. When you study tape and you can compare guys back-to-back, that is when you get a true assessment. And, you know, I'm just sitting here and luck. Now, keep in mind, Luck is very good now, keep in mind. But when I looked and stacked them up, all the X's kept falling towards RG3.
The next category, decision making.
And I'm going to go with Luck on this one. And only reason that I gave him that is because at the line of scrimmage, I thought he was outstanding in a post-style setting. I mean, knowing where the ball needed to go in the running game, the passing game, changing things at the line of scrimmage from a pro prospect and a pro situation. But when I looked at RG3 as far as decision making, he was very good as far as when to throw the football, not to throw the football. He just didn't play in a pro style system. That's why I gave decision making over to Luck. We have seen him in a pro style setting, very good at the line of scrimmage in the passing game and the running game. X goes to Luck.
Athleticism, who you got?
It's a push. Now, I know RG3 is faster. However, listen, both these guys are phenomenal athletes. And nobody in the history of football has run their way to a Super Bowl from the quarterback position. If Michael Vick hasn't done it, neither one of these guys are going to do it. However, their athleticism does give you a lot of flexibility when you look at your offense, things that you can do, the different packages. Both guys give you that. Both are outstanding athletes.
Okay, let's take out the push then right now. You have 3-1 RG3 over Andrew Luck after taking a look at all the five characteristics for grading a quarterback. And with that, if you are the Colts, who would you take number one overall?
In a half a heartbeat, RG3, without a question. Now, that doesn't mean Luck was not good. I think he was outstanding. But, you know, I've heard all this hype and all this talk, you know, it's Luck first, and then, you know, Washington has moved up. It's the RG3 battle for the Rams. I will tell you this. When you look at these, don't be shocked if the Colts take RG3.
Really?
When I look at, I am telling you, I went in with the same thing I've been hearing everywhere else, SportsCenter, wherever you hear it, Luck and RG3. When I watch them, and the only way you can do this is be able to compare them back-to-back coaching tape, same type of throws when people are around them. Those type of atmosphere is when you get a true evaluation of the skill set. Now, there's another evaluation we'll talk about in a second, but RG3 superior in all those categories to Luck.
Are the Colts making a mistake, believe it or not, if they go with Andrew Luck at number one, considering all the things you've seen?
And all that being said, no, they're not going to make it, because I still like Luck. I think he is outstanding as well. It's just that I guess I was under the impression that, you know, there's Luck and then, you know, RG3 is below that. When you start stacking the things up, RG3 is better than Luck when you look at the skill set. Now, as far as the interview, you know, the intellect, the IQ, I haven't been able to sit down and talk to them. No, that's vital to teams. You really learn a lot about the passion. You know, they committed to football. Do they know football? Do they live football? You know, all those things are vital. You know, those things are going to hinge on the decision, too. Let's just assume those are equal to RG3.
Wow. I'm a little shocked that you said that the Colts would entertain the idea of going with Robert.
I just don't think people should be shocked. Let me say this.
It is a slam dunk that everybody's been assuming. Andrew
football Luck. People will look at this and they'll be like, holy cow. That kid is unreal. I mean, especially when you talk about pushing the ball outside the numbers, the accuracy that he has. Another thing that you got to look at when you transition a guy to the NFL from a quarterback position, not when the pocket's clean and how does he throw, but what are people around you? How do you throw? Are you still accurate? RG3, much better. In fact, I thought Luck, that's where he kind of elevated himself beyond Luck. I thought Luck was a little more erratic, threw the ball away, was a little higher, more different throws than RG3. There's probably no throw RG3 can't make. And he had, I mean, some lasers. I mean, the kind of throws you've got to make in the NFL. And it was money at all three levels.
That's what I've been talking about, people. Now, that one last piece of tidbit that he's talking about Luck being erratic in the pocket under pressure, that's key for an NFL quarterback. That's key for having the intelligence and the ability to stay calm under pressure and deliver the football where it needs to be and accurately, not throwing it away, throwing high like Merle Hall was just talking about Andrew Luck. RG3, he said, clearly was better than that. Now tell me why. Tell me why that the Colts came out over a month ago and said they're going to pick Andrew Luck. Tell me why. The media. Now, he even said himself, he came in assuming, just because of all the hype, and he said it, because of all the hype that Andrew Luck was here, on number one, and then RG3 was clearly below that. And he was blown away, and not shocked, but pleasantly surprised when he saw that clearly that Robert Griffin III was more accurate, had a stronger arm, and was unshakable, I should say, for lack of a better word, unshakable in the pocket compared to Andrew Luck. But it's that old stereotype that it's that great white hype. I hate to say it like that, but it's that great white hype, in my opinion. So we'll see what happens. We'll see if the Indianapolis Colts stick with Andrew Luck, or maybe come to their senses. Who knows? And goes to pick RG3. They're looking for somebody who's dynamic and is a playmaker. Why not RG3 to the Indianapolis Colts, number one pick? Supposed to be the top player in the draft. Everyone assumes it's Andrew Luck, the top quarterback, more pro ready. Two guys, well-respected guys in the analyzing part of the NFL players in the quarterback position are saying now. Now they're saying when the assumption was that it was the other way around. It was Andrew Luck and then clearly Robert Griffin III to second. No, people. No. Wake up, America. You can't see what a lot of people before the so-called experts are seeing, that this guy is a dynamic personality, very intelligent, and I hate to say it like that, but he's very intelligent, very decisive. He's got a cannon for an arm, and he's got all the tools to be a solid NFL quarterback. The only thing that can hold him back is his offensive coordinator not taking advantage of his skill set, not taking advantage of what he does best. I wouldn't say no quarterback is perfect, but he, in my opinion, is the better quarterback and has the skills to get the ball short to deep accurately. And that's the key. Short to deep, accurately, know where to throw the ball and know who to throw the ball to. So we got 22 minutes left in the show. It's 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220. As you know, this is JT. This is the Master Plan. And we also have a chat room open. If you like to lay your knowledge in the chat room, I'll listen. I'll look at it, and if it's viable, I'll even talk about it on air. Or even if it's not viable, and you just want to spew something, whatever, we can chat about it while I'm talking on the air. I'm always open to whatever chats you want to talk about. Okay, I think I've spewed enough for the last half hour or so, last 40 minutes, talking about Andrew Luck and RG3. Let's move over to Tim Tebow. I hate to say it. People, Tim Tebow to the New York Football Jets. What are you doing? I'm thoroughly disappointed. This happens to be my team. And for those who don't know, who's just listening in, Tim Tebow got traded to the New York Jets, which I happen to be a fan of, going on 45 years. Yes, people, I'll be 58 in a couple of months, less than a couple of months, really. About 5 weeks or so, I'll be 58. I've been a fan since I was 13, 14 years old, thereabouts. Of the New York Jets, and I've seen a lot of things that happened, a lot of idiotic things the Jets have done, and this has taken a cake. I've stated on a few shows that I'm going to be changing allegiance because of this is like the straw that broke the camel's back. I've had it. This team, this organization has taken a step that I do not disagree with. And the greatest quarterback in the New York Jet history has something to say about that.
On perhaps getting Tim Tebow.
I don't think they know what they're doing over there right now, Michael. You know, they give Sanchez a new contract. They pat him on the back, and then they bring in two more quarterbacks. I'm stunned again like I was. It's a little different kind of stunned when Tony Sperano signed on as the offensive coordinator. I should be closer to saying I'm close to shocked. I just am sorry. I do not agree with this situation. I can't agree with it. I just think it's a publicity stunt. I really think it's wrong. I can't go for it.
That was Joe Namath on the Michael Kay Show, and Greg Williams has come.
And that's what I have to say about the Tim Tebow trade. You got to be kidding me. What are you, the New York Jets, what are you doing? Like he said, you signed Sanchez to an extension, give him $58 million in the extension for 5 years. You say, Mark, you're my franchise quarterback. You did that because there were rumors and whatever that you were going after Peyton Manning, and supposedly this was makeup money to get the Sanchez, make him a little touchy-feely a little bit better, because Sanchez is a sensitive quarterback, which I got a problem with. Everyone says he's a sensitive quarterback, that no leadership whatsoever. So what happens? A week and a half after you give him his nice quarterback, he comes out and disses his teammates for not having the guts and call them gutless for not putting their name on criticism. You signed Tim Tebow. What are you doing? You signed Tim Tebow and decide that Tim Tebow is going to energize your offense. Now you, when you have two quarterbacks, you have no quarterbacks. You've heard that phrase before. I've heard it before. When you're going to have a huge quarterback controversy. Now I'm going to play another clip, and this is from. I'm going to play another clip that is from Stephen A. on First Take between him and Skip Bayless. That I think says it all. And let's hear to this because, you know, you heard from Namath. He has no idea why they did this. You heard from me. I have no idea. I'm thinking about heavily moving from one team to the next. I got a team in mind. I've liked the team for a while. I've talked about their running back that I liked. I called the running back before anyone else knew the running back. I told him he's going to blow up, and he has blown up, and he hasn't disappointed. I'm thinking about moving that way. But let's listen to what Skip Bayless. Now, this is about a 10-minute clip. I'm not going to play the whole thing. I'll stop it at some point. But I want to listen to Stephen A. first and then a short part of Skip Bayless. Here we go.
Is the Tebow move a play for attention? Tim Tebow's mere arrival to the metro area yesterday was huge news that included fans and media waiting for his touchdown at the Morristown, New Jersey airport. Police had to remove media members from the Jets training facility in Florham Park, New Jersey.
Crazy.
Stephen A. wrote for ESPNNewYork.com, "Let us be clear. Tim
Talk
Tebow's
to me, Steve.
Arrival in New York is a complete joke. It's a move so
tell,
ridiculous. One
tell him how it is.
Openly, if only it were anyone but the New York Jets." To read the entire Stephen A. Smith column, I encourage you to go to ESPNNewYork.com. Gentlemen, what percentage of the Tebow deal do you believe is a publicity stunt?
I was going to say 85%.
Uh-huh. But you've increased it.
But in the last 24 hours, I have. It's
100%. 100%?
It's an absolute joke. Let's be clear.
It's not just a joke. It's a complete and absolute
joke. 100%. Let me be clear. This is a second-string quarterback. The Jets have acknowledged he's the backup.
Mm-hmm. Are you buying that?
Excuse me. There's a press conference for a backup. That's number one. Just stay with my point. We'll discuss that a little bit later on the show. You're moving the press conference back to Monday. I'm sorry, there are no live events to get in the way. We got to milk this publicity for all of its worth. The only thing missing from all of this are the words Barnum and Bailey, because it is clearly a circus, and it is something that's fallen right in line with Woody Johnson. He should be ashamed of himself. The Jets organization should be ashamed of itself, because clearly they're making a statement. You know what? We'll leave the winning football to the New York Giants. We're just interested in stealing headlines. This is what it is.
Wow.
Tim Tebow is a – this is a official. I'm talking about an official. We're not analyzing that, dissecting his game or lack thereof. What we are talking about are the statements of the New York Jets. They say he is a backup quarterback. Even if you're right, and I believe that you are, when we talk about ultimately he will be the starting quarterback because a popularity contest will elevate him to that point, along with Fright Night called Mark Sanchez because of all the attention that's going to be coming Tim Tebow's way. But the point...
Now you're undercutting your own argument.
Listen, what I'm saying to you is, at the end of the day, Tim Tebow's arrival in New York is all about publicity. It is all about a circus. It is a complete joke. I stand by every word that I said. A matter of fact, let me be clear, ESPNNewYork.com actually edited out a few words because it was stronger than that.
Ooh,
all right?
Ooh.
It was stronger than that. But you know what? We want to be careful in this PC world we live in. So that's what they did, and I applaud them for doing so. But it is what it is.
You know what they edited out?
What?
Your hate of Tim Tebow.
I don't hate
your
any
vitriol.
I don't hate
your venom.
Okay.
It's gone.
Vitriol and venom.
A little over the edge
vitriol
here.
Vitriol and venom. Well, Tim Tebow, it's not his fault. It's people like you.
it's
people like you, because it's definitely mostly your fault. There's no doubt about that. It's your fault. You.
Yeah.
Okay? And it's you that annoys me. So obviously you don't help him. But I still think he can't play. It's just that the venom, the vitriol, I wouldn't aim that at him. He's just a sucker. He just gets the brunt of it because
okay.
I got to deal
by,
with
by association
yes.
with me.
His association
yes.
with
okay.
you. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I'm going to tell you right now that Rex Ryan 100% believes that Tim Tebow will be the quarterback who will take him over the hump that he cannot get over. That's what's going on right
the
now.
The hump in the Super Bowl?
Yeah. 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 So I'm going
funny.
To give you.
It really is.
If you went to 100 on publicity stunt, I'll give you 20% PR stunt. Only because.
I'm surprised you went that high.
Well, look. What have I said repeatedly about Rex Ryan? He wants to be New York's celebrity football coach.
Yeah.
He is a frustrated stand-up comic. He's a wannabe actor. Do you realize he's got a part in the upcoming Adam Sandler movie?
I saw it in the trailer, too, over the weekend. And I think Rex Ryan
will
do a good job with
it. He's playing a lawyer who's actually a Patriots fan.
Yeah.
Oh, look at me, New York. Ha, ha, ha. Look at me. That's Rex Ryan. And do I think that the owner and the GM are going to get a kick out of kicking the Giants off the back page as the reigning Super Bowl champ? Yes. And do you think they're going to kick them off the back page repeatedly next football season? You better believe they will.
They're going to own the back page.
Okay, thank you. Okay, yeah. Thank you.
Well, so they've done that before. They did it with Brett Favre.
Okay.
They've done it many times.
And the Giants, they
haven't won.
Clear, Jerry Reese and Tom Coughlin and the New York Giants do not mind. They say, leave the Super Bowl to us.
No. All right. It takes pressure off the Giants.
But I am also here to tell you that next year is put up or shut up for one Rex Ryan. I believe it's make or break for his job status and security. Would you agree with that?
I do.
Okay, thank you.
Not that he'll lose his job, but that the honeymoon's over.
What do he and his new offensive coordinator, Tony Sparano, have in common? They both got Tebowed. They both had to stand there right on the sideline, up close and personal, and under their upturned noses, both of them had to watch Tim Tebow pull off a near miracle to beat their team in the waning moments of a fourth quarter of a football game. Am I right about that?
Yeah.
They know what this force of competitive nature can do in the fourth quarter. And I'm here to tell you that Rex is going to try to save his job, not win a PR game with the New York Football Giants. He wants Tebow to be his quarterback because he knows that this is just the right kind of quarterback to win his way, which is ground and pound, complete big, decisive, timely passes, and play top five defense. That's the formula for success. That's the Tim Tebow formula.
Dr. Phil, you're wrong. Here's the deal, okay? First of all, if Rex Ryan really wants to keep his job beyond this upcoming season, you know what he can do that will absolutely ensure that he keeps his job? All he has to do is shut up. That's it.
The problem with he's got to win football games. The problem with.
All right, that's enough of that. Anyway, like I said, Tim Tebow to the Jets is a joke. I'm thoroughly disgusted with my team. I truly believe what Stephen A. Part of what Skip Bayless is saying, that it's a publicity stunt. It could be a possibility that Tim Tebow takes over the quarterback position from Mark Sanchez. They wouldn't have brought Tim Tebow in just to do so-called, in quotes, Tebow packages. You know what? It's about 9 minutes left in the show. I've been going back and forth on whether I want to. and one of my co-hosts is just asked me in the chat room, who's my new team? And I'm just getting to that now. I've been going back and forth. I've been a fan for almost 45 years. My birthday is shortly, and I'll be 58, like I said earlier. 45 years as a Jet fan, put up with a lot. I'm seriously thinking about changing allegiance. It's not an easy thing to do. Changing allegiance, especially when you've been dealing with one team for so long. But I do like this team a lot. I've liked this team. I do like the quarterback. I think I probably think more of the quarterback than most people do. I think I'm really torn right now. You know, I won't be talking to you after today for 2 weeks. It won't be the on Thursday show. I won't be on Thursday show, which happens to be the FSP Cruise show, which is 8 o'clock. Same website. Black the Bookie and Jeff the Joker are going to be holding it down on Thursday. I won't be there co-hosting with Vic on Saturday, which is the FSP show, which starts at 1 o'clock on Saturday. And quite naturally, I told you, I won't be here on Sunday, which is, like you are listening to right now, is the master plan. One of my co-hosts says, ridiculous switching teams. And another guy says, I don't think it's all hinging on Tebow for the Jets. The other elements still have to do their part. Well, I understand that. And Black says, I'm switching teams. You know, I thought long and hard about switching teams. This is not a joke or just something to get some type, whatever type of attention it is getting. From this, I'm seriously thinking about changing teams. Notice I said thinking, because I'm still torn. It's tough to leave a team that you've dealt with for 45 years. let me think about this for a minute. Do I want to leave this team because of the idiotic moves that they've been doing? Do I want to leave this team because I have a boisterous coach who can't, for the most part, back up what is with results on this team? Do I want to leave this team because an owner has delusions of grandeur and is picking up pieces because he doesn't know any better. I've been called a bandwagoner. I've been called a traitor. I've been called a Benedict Arnold because I'm changing teams. Well, I'm none of those. And for people who haven't heard, the snitch supposedly in the Saints Bounty Gate, for lack of a better word, happened to be a from according to Warren Sapp, from NFL and future Hall of Famer and also a Tampa Bay Buccaneer and a Super Bowl champion, that Jeremy Shockey was the snitch. You know what? Let me see. What do I want to do? Do I want to say what the team I'm going to change my allegiance to, or am I willing to stay with my team and split my allegiance? Figure that one. Split my allegiance with another team. How does my black, the bookie, or Unity America think of that? Staying with my team and then, but not being such a diehard fan as I was in the past, because I think I'm going to adopt another team and start wearing some of their colors also. You know what? I'm thinking about it here, and this is what I'm going to do. I'm staying with my team. I'm staying with my New York Jets, but I also have a strong allegiance to a team that I feel is extremely close, has lost some pieces, but I like the quarterback. I definitely like the running back, who's a beast. I definitely like the wide receiver, who's a beast. If you don't know by now who I'm talking about the Houston Texans. That's who I'm talking about. I'm talking about the Houston Texans. I happen to like Matt Schaub a lot. I happen to like him a lot. I think he's been very underrated by the so-called experts. He's been a serviceable, more than a serviceable quarterback. And what can you say about Andre Johnson and my boy Arian Foster? you know what? I don't like Tim Tebow, but my co-host is going to be imposing pictures of Tim Tebow. Imposing pictures of myself, my face on Tim Tebow. Probably doing a Tim Tebow with the kneeling, with the head to the forehead. But that's okay. I know the truth. Now, people who are listening to the show know the truth. So anytime Mr. Black, the bookie, puts up something that says I'm Tebowing, understand it. It's not me. It's not me. It's not me. I do not like Tim Tebow. I do not like Tim Tebow. Whatsoever, and I'm laughing because I'm looking at the chat room, and Unity America and Black Wright, who happens to be Black the Bookie, are texting, chatting in the chat room about the things I'm talking about. Now, like I said, I'm not a Tebow fan. Tebow is a good son. A good man, but pertaining to football as a quarterback, make it plain and simple. He sucks. He sucks. That's all I can tell you. Now we're down to 90 seconds of this show. I appreciate Mr. Black Wright and Mr. Unity America of joining me in the chat room and conversing back and forth between themselves and me in the chat room. Like I said, I'll be back in 2 weeks, April 1st. If you don't hear from me, it's not an April Fool's joke. It's just the fact is I won't be around for a week. And the three shows, FSP Crew Show, FSP Show, and Master Plan, Thursday night at 8 o'clock, FSP Crew Show, Saturday afternoon, FSP Show, and the master plan on Sunday, 10 o'clock, will not hear my voice. I'll be back the week after that. So until then, we're going to listen to some Eric Raheem. And as always, when I'm finished with this show, I'm paid in full. Talk to you.
This is a journey into sound. This is a journey into sound. A journey which along the way will bring to you new color, new dimension, new value.
When all is ready, I throw this switch.
Pump up the volume, pump up the volume.
Don't there be.
Broadcast bring you a special news bulletin from our on-the-spot task force.
Oh, my gosh. The music just turns me on.
Thinking of a master plan.
Step with the record. Step with the record.
Thinking of a master plan.
Step with the record. Step with the record.
Thinking of a master plan. This ain't nothing but sweat inside my hands. So I dig into my pocket, all my money spent. So I just deep up, still coming up for lunch. So I start my mission, leave my residence. Thinking how could I get some dead presidents. I need money, I used to be a stick up kid. So I think of all the devious things I did. I used to roll up, this is a hole up. Ain't nothing funny, stop smiling. You still don't nothing move but the money. But now I learn to earn cause I'm righteous. I feel great, so maybe I might just search for a 9-to-5. If I strive, then maybe I'll stay alive. So I walk up the street, whistling this, feeling out of place, cause man, do I miss a pen and a paper, a stereo, a tape for me and Eric being a nice big plate of this, which is my favorite dish, but without no money, it's still a wish. Cause I don't like to dream about getting paid, so I dig into the books of the rhymes that I made. Soon as I test to see if I got pulled, hit the studio, cause I'm paid in full.
Pump up the volume, pump up the volume.
Wait a minute, you better talk to my mother.
Kids.